And while you were at university, were you always treated at the JR?
In the beginning, the idea was that I would stay with the JR because I was going to be coming back home after I'd finished uni. But I actually settled down in High Wycombe and thought, right, I'm going to be here permanently. I really ought to change the diabetic clinic. And I went to the one in High Wycombe, but I actually didn't like the doctors and team there as much as the Oxford team. I think it's probably because Oxford was so familiar and I'd been there so many years that I actually changed my mind and moved back to the Oxford clinic. But since then I've moved back to the area anyway, so it worked out in the long run.
Is it important, do you think, to have familiar medical staff?
I think it is, actually. I mean, I've always had the same GP the whole time. And I think if you know the doctors well, you can say, okay, it was my fault. I did actually have that huge piece of chocolate cake. And no, I haven't been doing as many blood tests. But if you go to a stranger that perhaps you've only seen a couple of times or maybe never before, you are less inclined to tell the truth and more to want to say what you think they want you to say.
How much contact did you have with the medical profession during your teens and your time at university?
I would probably say that I only really saw them when I went to clinic appointments, which by that stage were once every 6 months. I was quite sad when I left the paediatric clinic at Oxford, because there you go every 3 months, and then every year you have like an MOT where they check absolutely everything. And it's like you only ever really had 3 months to go wrong before you saw them. But moving to uni, where all the changes were happening, you're less likely to ask for help when you're in that age group anyway. And I felt, oh, I wish I could be at Oxford Paediatrics, because at least they could whip me into shape once every 3 months and I couldn't falter as easily.
What did whipping you into shape consist of?
Usually Dr. Dunger saying, you're hopeless, writing it in my notes with a smile on his face, saying you must do more blood tests. And I remember once we had this agreement that I could come back in 3 months rather than a month if I agreed to send him through the post blood tests of for a full week, one for every single day. And I remember writing it out on writing paper and addressing it and putting it in the post to him. But he actually got me to do them, which was amazing at that time, because I was really not keen on blood tests at all.
And during your teens and your time at university, how did boyfriends react to you having diabetes?
I think they were as laid back about it as I was. I remember the first boyfriend I ever had told Dr. Dunger at the paediatric clinic in Oxford that I had a boyfriend, and he said, all right, you can bring him with you next time. I believe in boyfriend power. Perhaps he could get you to do some more blood tests. And they've really had, I think every boyfriend I've had really has had quite a good attitude towards my diabetes. I've said, look, this is what happens. If I pass out or look like I'm going to pass out, give me sugar or call a doctor if you're really worried. And fingers crossed and touch wood, I haven't had to actually have anybody out up to now.
I like the idea of boyfriend power. Did you actually take your boyfriend with you?
God, no. No, I thought, no, I'm going to have them, two of them pinning me down. So I didn't take him, but he thought it was hilarious when I suggested it to him.